In this episode, discover how to 10x your engagement with a targeted content series.
Discover how video can help you achieve your sales and marketing goals. It all starts right here in Todd Hartley's Video Marketing Mastery. Brought to you by Wirebuzz.
Heyo! March Madness just came to a crashing end in the Phoenix area. That's where we are, Team Wirebuzz. We're in Scottsdale. It's just a suburb outside of Phoenix. And my man Marcus Krieg is with me. He went to the final game last night, the championship game.
Yeah, it was fun.
You and 74,000 other people crammed into University of Phoenix Stadium to watch the Tar Heels take it all. Fun game.
It was fun. It was a little disappointing watching the Zags, you know, dribble into the double team over and over and over and over again. But yeah, it was a close game, just like all the final four games. And yeah, it was definitely an experience, a bucket list item that we got to check off.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Look, hey, if you've been listening to this show for a while, then you already know that Wirebuzz recently launched a 5-day mini course on our website. So joining me today to talk about those case studies is our director of strategy, the big nerd, Marcus Krieg. What is up?
What is up?
All right, Marcus. So, you know, let's start at the very beginning. By the way, if this is your first episode, by all means, we recommend that you start back at episode one. This is a master level course now that we're at episode 75. But Marcus, for those who've been following along and keeping their eye on the bouncing ball of video marketing, let's give our listeners a little background on our mini course and the thought process behind it and why we made it.
Sure. So, you know, Wirebuzz, you know, we're a knowledge-based business. You know, we're selling to people, generally larger projects. We're hoping to have a long-term relationship with those clients, become sort of an extension of their marketing and their sales department. And so it's a relatively complex sales process. There's a lot of information that we need to deliver to our to our target customers in order for them to be, you know, comfortable working with us, to understand the value of our services, and as opposed to just hiring anybody with a camera, right? And many of them are coming to us with very little background understanding about video marketing because it's such a new industry. Right, like we have this sense of what TV advertising is, we have a sense of what YouTube marketing is, but this whole new era where you have the ability to control the video experience and you can use video so tactically throughout your entire sales process, throughout all of your marketing initiatives, it's different. It's gotten more complex. And so we need to make sure that our consumers, that our target customers, understand that information before they'll know that they want to work with us, right? And so, you know, just like anyone else, we always ask our clients, if you were sitting down in an airplane and you had all day with one of your target customers,
I'm going to close it.
You're going to close it, right? And they always say yes, because the biggest challenge in sales and marketing is you have all of this information you need to communicate, but you only have this much attention span, right? And we know that as time has gone on, getting that attention span, re-engaging your prospects, is becoming more and more challenging. There's more advertising taking place on social media. There's only 10 first page rankings on Google. There's 3 or 4 times more competitors in just virtually every industry than there were 10 years ago. And so it's getting noisier. It's getting harder to stand out in the inbox, in the news feed. And so how can we get larger segments of undivided attention so we can communicate that essential information? And so that was the challenge we were facing, is how do we get as much of this information across as possible quickly, start to build some of those relationships. We want people to understand who you are, right? Build a little bit of a affinity with Wirebuzz. Understand our methodology. What makes us different? How do we add extra value over and above the kid with the camera down the street?
Right?
So we have this kind of a challenge that we wanted to overcome. And we wanted to do it quickly, right? That's how you speed up the sales process. How can you get that information delivered and consumed and understood in the shortest time period possible?
And we're obsessed with how do we collapse that sales cycle into the least amount of meetings, the least amount of time invested, because in doing so, you should be able to hockey stick your received revenue by optimizing the sales process and closing deals quicker.
Yep. And so for us, the mini course was 3 steps that guarantee video marketing ROI.
Right.
It talks, you know, step 1, create choose profitable video topics. Step two, create the right video the first time. And step three, make sure that video gets good exposure. And if you do those three things, your videos will always get ROI. We know that. We've developed that system. We've proven that system out over and over and over again. And that's what makes us unique. We have this methodology. We have the system. And we know how to teach it and get that message across. So we created a mini course that teaches our secret sauce to our consumers in a non-salesy way. These are the things you need to know about us, but also these are the things you just need to know about video marketing.
Right.
And if you know these things and you realize that we're the experts at this, working with us becomes the foregone conclusion.
Right. A no-brainer, right?
Yep.
So in a few moments, we're going to share with the audience the results that we got from our mini course, how it's worked for us, and we're also going to explain ways that you can use it for your business. By the way, if you want to get access to this mini course, all you have to do is go to wirebuzz.com/ROI, which is, of course, return on investment, right? wirebuzz.com/ROI. Now, before we get into the case study and what we've learned from it, provide a brief overview on the mini course and why we structured it and how we deliver it.
Sure. Now, the big idea here is, we believe in sequential content, leading people through a larger transformation using a series of content. Now, we packaged it as a mini course. We delivered 5 emails and 5 videos over the course of 5 days. That's all really important. You could have a longer series. You could have a shorter series.
And it's all automated. So if somebody goes and signs up at that, URL I gave out a moment ago, and their 5 days starts from the day after they sign up?
Yep. It starts immediately.
Okay, so day they get it.
Yeah. So once they sign up, they get that first email, that first video within a few moments.
Okay.
And then and 24 hours later, they'll get the next video. And then 24 hours later, so
aren't
on and so
physically
forth.
Sending it each time somebody, because I'm getting flyouts on the, like a notification on my computer that's saying, John from this company just, opted in. And then the automated marketing platform sends it off, and then we track data on the back end.
Absolutely. That's exactly how it works. So you definitely want to make sure that if you're going to be creating one of these, whether it's a content series or a mini course, that you could be using as like a lead magnet. So for us, it's also a lead magnet. It's a way for people. People have to sign up for it. You can get a lot of the benefits of a content series without gating it. Right, so there are other ways to deploy a series of content to maximize engagement. We just decided that for us, it also had a lot of value as a content offer. Right, so that's why we structured it as the little mini course. But the basic flow path for this content was based on a proven persuasion framework called the attractive character sequence. Now, the attractive character sequence, as you know, because you did it, is not about how you. It's not all about getting sales, right? It's about building that relationship as quickly as possible and establishing yourself as an expert in the industry.
And the reason I'm really comfortable with that is I know that if I lay down the right foundation of trust and credibility, that in 6 months, a year, 3 years, when this person needs a video project done right the first time, they're naturally going to think of me each and every time that conversation comes up.
Exactly. And it's because you were able to educate them.
Right.
And they were able to then understand how you do it.
Right.
Right. And usually an attractive character sequence is going to deliver your secret sauce. Right. So that's the mini courses. The mini course topic is how to get the results that your business, that your knowledge and expertise are able to offer. Right. So in our case, the mini courses, how to guarantee video ROI. For another business, it could be how to improve XYZ results.
And what it really
life.
Should be is something that makes your company super unique that they can't find somewhere else, that is a big enough, valuable enough topic that really is a key differentiator.
Right. Now, there's two sides to that, actually. So part of it is, yes, if you can be completely differentiated, have a unique value proposition, then absolutely you want to make sure that you're delivering that in this sequence. But in many cases, we'll be working with a client and they're not very differentiated from the competition.
Right. In fact, in many cases, we work on the competitors' projects also.
Sure. Yeah.
In fact, like maybe 50% of our clients were also servicing their competitors.
Right. And So it's not always about what makes you unique, because the way that the attractive character sequence is set up, it's not just about what you know, but it's about who you are, the kind of journey that you've been on, building that relationship with the audience. That's why it's called the attractive character sequence. It's about positioning your thought leader, the champion inside your business, the evangelist for your company, as that person mm-hmm. to be followed. And so the basic flow path is, you know, video one, you know, or email one. We like using this with video because it's just going to turbocharge everything, but you could theoretically do this with email.
The first one is the welcome, right? Welcome to the mini course.
Yeah, it's like you're just letting people know, hey, I got that you signed up. Here's the mini course. Here's a little bit of background on me so that you even have a reason to come back to the next email tomorrow. You're going to tell people what they're going to get in the mini course. Again, you just got to sink the hook in so that you can keep them coming back. And that's really important because what we're talking about here is creating a sequence of content so that we can maintain a higher level of engagement than you would get if you just send a series of disconnected emails.
Right. All right. So to summarize, video one is a welcome to the mini course. It introduces the attractive character and what to expect. What is video number two like?
Video number two is going to tell the backstory. So how did you, Todd Hartley, the thought leader, come to realize the method for generating ROI from video? So tell us that story. Tell us what it was like for you to be in that state of ignorance and how you overcame that, the trials and tribulations that you went on in order to discover the epiphany, the secret sauce. But you don't tell them what the secret sauce is. You're just giving the backstory, taking them right up to that cliffhanger, and then promising the secret tomorrow.
Okay, so video two is the backstory. Video three is the breakthrough, the epiphany.
Yep, exactly. And so this is the one that is delivering the promise outlined in the course title, okay. Right? So like the topic for the entire series, this is where you're delivering that secret sauce, that methodology. And so you're picking up the story where you left off.
They're what we call open loops.
Right.
We'll right, connecting one video to the next.
Yep. We'll talk a little bit more about open loops, which is kind of the video equivalent of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Right?
Like you would see in House of Cards or the show Lost.
Lost, yep.
Right?
A lot of people use Lost as the classic example of using open loops to make people binge watch.
Yep.
So we'll definitely want to talk a little bit more about open loops and how we use them in this context. But so video three is usually going to be your longest. For us, it's about 11 to 12 minutes long.
Right.
You'd be amazed at the engagement. I want to share those yep. results. But so that's the secret sauce. You're delivering the methodology. You're breaking down the framework. And if you need to deliver extra information to make it more actionable, this is where you do it. So in our mini course, at the end of that third video, we also offer our topic selection worksheet to solve the first step in our framework. We offer a video scripting templates guide that teaches you how to make sure that you create the right video. And then we also have a pre-production guide to help make sure that you create the right video. Now, in execution, that's our step three.
Right.
We can't control how you execute, how you deploy the video, unless you're working with us to actually do that step in the marketing process. But we definitely provide some insight into how you would use different types of videos.
All right. So video number three is the secret sauce video. It's the big framework, the reveal, the lessons that you teach in this video will be the basis, kind of the meat and potatoes of your value proposition. And video number four, we call the hidden benefits. Talk to me about the hidden benefits and how we reveal the obvious benefits with our methodology.
Yeah. So in video three, we reveal the obvious benefit, right? So in our case, you're going to get more ROI, right? That's the obvious benefit right. of working with Wirebuzz. You do the system, you will make money. But there's more to making money and making that real and transferring that benefit into something that creates an emotional impact, that makes your solution a priority so that they buy now instead of maybe someday later when it becomes a priority, right? Emotion is what persuades people. The information is what convinces people, right? So there's that difference. So with the hidden benefits, what we're really doing here is we're talking about the non-obvious, what I would call terminal benefits. How does it affect you as a, in our case, marketer, salesperson? How does it affect you, the consumer, on a personal lifestyle level? So, you know, when we're in this business-to-business space, We're usually talking about making money in some way or saving money in some way. But that's not really what makes people act. What makes people act is, I'm going to help your career, or I'm going to make sure that you have more time to spend with your kids, or I'm going to save you from feeling stressed out all the time because this is solved, or whatever. So the hidden benefits that you can reveal to make the benefit of your solution more poignant, more attractive, more emotional.
It's like the ninja way to break down the benefits of your solution, right?
Yep.
So you can boost urgency, and you can tie your product and service to an emotional transformation. That's video four, which brings us to the fifth and final video, which is about urgency and the call to action.
Right. So this is your first opportunity where you are actually revealing your product. Right. So this is super important. As I've worked with people creating attractive character sequences, I know you've had the same experience. Businesses tend to want to position their product in the very first email or the second email. And that's so, so, so mistaken.
Marketers typically have the worst instincts.
Yes. And it's like, just think about how you would want it as a consumer. You signed up for a mini course or this content series to learn something. Focus on teaching that something and use it as a guerrilla tactic for building demand for your solution. This email five or video five, it's about, why should you act now? Right. So in our
urgency,
case, right? Urgency. You know, you could always wait, but there's a good reason why you should act now. Right. So you teach that internal logic. And then you also are going to give them some kind of call to action that's time sensitive to amplify that urgency. So the idea here is, how can I tell you what you need to know to make this a priority today? Instead of just thinking, oh, well, that's neat. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll think about this in a few months. Call me in June.
All right. So video five, urgency and call to action. Give your mini course students a reason to buy one of your products right this very moment. Create that urgency. And if you've got a more complex sales process, give them a smaller step that they can hurdle over.
Right. Like, we're not asking anyone to buy a video coming out of the fifth email, right? We're instead telling them, hey, look, we provide free strategy consultations. We'll get to know your business. We'll give you some really smart ideas for how you could be using video and other content formats to fuel efficiencies in your sales and marketing.
Right.
And we will do all of that for free. And then, by the way, here's a limited time offer on top of that.
And the reason, I want to make this really clear, the reason we're comfortable giving that away for free is we already realize that once a prospect spends some time with us, and maybe it's an hour or 2 hours, and we break down their business like only Wirebuzz can, right? And then lay out the strategy, they're going to look around and they're going to go, there's no way we're going to a video guy who does weddings and bar mitzvahs when there's a pro team that creates the right videos the right way the first time and then streamlines it to ROI. Big key differentiator. We've distanced ourselves and at the same time displayed expertise in the subject that person who hires us can now confidently go back to their boss and say, all of this will tie back to ROI.
Right. And that consultative aspect of the sales process, right? This gives us an opportunity to be consultative, to deliver those aha moments that make us more valuable than just someone who knows how to turn on a camera.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. They're called, those are our PhD cameras and PhD videographers. Do you know what that stands for? Push your dummy. You just put the camera on program.
Auto settings.
Yeah. Boom. And then the lighting, oh, we'll deal with that in post-production or never, right? All right. Now that we've made this mini series, you know, the goal wasn't really to drive sales. I mean, that would be great, but it wasn't our main goal. Can you talk a little bit about the strategy here and why it wasn't convert, convert, convert?
Sure. Obviously, we're in a relationship business.
Right?
We're knowledge workers. So our expertise, our experience, the results that we've gotten for people in the past, our intellectual capital as a group is the reason why people should work with us. And so the goal is not to close you in 5 days, but to build a relationship with you in 5 days.
Right.
So that we've earned your attention for the next month, for the next 2 months, or however long it takes for us to deliver that essential information, get you ready to buy, or wait until you're ready to buy. You know, oftentimes we're dealing with a client where maybe they're pre-funding.
Right.
And so they want to know that we're there, but they're not ready yet.
How often do we hear, oh, I met Todd at this conference, he was speaking, or somebody introduced me to Todd, and then 9 months later, they circle around for us to do video with them, right?
Happens all the time.
All the time. So this kind of goes back to the original conversation that we had at the opening of this podcast episode about how if you're sitting next to somebody in an airplane, how long does it take? And then when you take that concept and you kind of break it down into a video, now they're getting little digestible pieces over, let's say, 5 days. And by the end of it, you've done what you've never been able to do, which is automate yourself, right? Many Todd robots out there developing relationships and teaching the proper way of looking at video.
Right. So we always refer to this step in the sales funnel as demand generation, right? So identifying and agitating the problem
right.
that makes your solution a priority, or identifying and amplifying the benefit that makes your product or solution a priority, mm-hmm. right? So it's all emotion. We have always held the line, you convince people with information, you persuade them to make a decision with emotion. That's why this attractive character sequence you talked about starts with that emotional low, the state of struggle in video two. And then in video three, there's the epiphany, the resolution.
Yep.
And then in video four, there's the outcome, the results.
Right.
And what it can do for you, we transfer the benefits from your life, you, the person who's telling the story, who's gone on that transformation, and now we're showing you what it's like to own those benefits. And so the entire series is based on creating and amplifying emotion just from a structural standpoint. But our goal here is we need to make our solution a priority. We need to make our clients understand the role of video and what kind of opportunity video can create for them. Maybe in some cases, video offers a benefit, lower cost leads. In other cases, you might have a business problem. Our sales process is not very sticky and people keep falling out of our funnel. One of them is a problem.
We get that all the time from people.
That's probably our biggest, most common problem.
Right?
And so what we do in this early step, you know, as soon as someone joins our email list, is we have shown them the reason why video is a good solution and why it's a good value,
right.
and how to ensure that you get an ROI off of that investment, which is admittedly probably the biggest point of resistance.
Mm-hmm.
How often do clients come to us and like, I understand the value, I know that video is important, but I can't afford to take a risk.
I'll answer that question almost every time. In fact, just today we had two situations, I haven't even updated you on this, where people we've been talking with for a while came back and said, yes, we want to do all 8 of these videos, but our primary decision maker says, let's take a baby step. Let's do 1 video. Let's prove out the ROI. Let's see what it's like working with you guys. Let's do a first date and then see if we want to go on dates further down the road. And we're fine with that because every one of our clients is still with us.
But incidentally, none of those clients went through our mini course.
No, none of them did. You're right.
And that's the idea here is it's not just how to replicate your existing sales process, but how can you use this content to front load the objection handles that create resistance to the sale?
I want to ask you about this. It's an important part. I'm glad you brought it up. Inside of this mini course welcome series, which we're kind of using interchangeably in this podcast, we're already handling the common objections that we get hit with so we can mitigate them and move people through safely through the funnel.
Right, exactly. So think about this as an opportunity, and really you can think about any content series you create as an opportunity to get more of your essential message delivered. Now, you obviously have to couch it in a win-win. Right. So there needs to be a value proposition to the content series,
right.
like this overarching transformational goal. Right. In our case, it's getting video ROI, which is in many cases a very new, novel concept to some of these businesses.
Right.
But we also need to make it a win for us. Right. So building demand for our solution,
right.
you know, identifying our differentiators, making video an urgent priority. Making sure that we're handling any common objections, objections that often come and stem from ignorance or lack of savvy, as opposed to real tangible objections, right? And so if you can front load those things and use this educational opportunity, this highly engaging content format, as an opportunity to get as much of that information out to your prospects as quickly as possible, you've just made your entire sales process that much more streamlined. And really, that was the goal here. It wasn't, you know, if we can get, you know, 1% of the people who go through that mini course to raise their hand, we're happy. But the more important thing is we know that the people who are coming through this mini course have now learned 80% of what our sales team would need to teach them before right. we could go to a proposal.
And I only had to teach it once.
Right. And then on top of that, we know that those people, because we've indoctrinated them, yeah. we've shown them our basic framework, the methodology, when we send them content like what we're talking about today, they'll be able to place it in that larger strategy because we've broken down the framework and now they understand the system, the basic strategy, and how to inject all of the little tactics we're teaching into that framework.
All right. Now, this is really cool. Let's talk about the results. You and I have not talked about the results because it's been crazy bonkers around here. So this is kind of like the Wirebuzz version of a HGTV big reveal, right? Move that bus. Tell me, Marcus, how did this whole thing work out?
Sure. So email open rates in our industry, email click rates in our industry are probably the lowest of just about any. And that's because marketers are inundated with content. Salespeople right. are busy. And so, you know, you're generally going to be looking at an email click rate of about 1.5 to 2% in the marketing space. You're looking at email open rates somewhere under 20%, usually around 14-15%. And we use video pretty routinely, so we do a little bit better than the average in that sense. But again, we're dealing with a savvier customer base who has that higher threshold of expectation.
Right. And they're also abused all day long with more marketing.
Right. I mean, marketers basically should just avoid having a contact form on their website because it's just going to be the same five dudes sending right. you of contact forms talking about how they're going to make your website better every day, right?
Hey, on that note, I can't tell you how many times people reach out to me through a form email asking me if they could create our videos.
Yep.
They're trying to sell me videos.
It's,
right?
It's so hilarious.
It's bad marketing. All right. Yeah. So tell me about the results, bro.
All right. So we launched the mini course when our new website went up in early February. So far, the results have been extremely dramatic.
We're looking at like maybe 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And so five emails and five videos. Let's just go through open rates. Then we'll go through click rates. Then we'll talk about video completion metrics.
All right. Break it down. How did the open rates go for videos 1 through 5?
64%.
That's the first video.
First video.
Right? First email.
First email. And this was sent immediately. So you expect a welcome email to have a very high open rate, right? But what's really interesting is that email 2 had a 63%.
That's just a 1% difference.
1%. And actually, it was closer to 0.75% when I rounded down on that one.
Oh, by the way, just so you know.
Always round
in
up.
In life, always round up. Right?
Data nerd.
Unless it's bad, round down.
Yeah, right. Well, data nerd here, right? 49% for email 3.
Okay, and that's the one where the big reveal happens.
Yep.
That's good.
47% for email 4.
Nice.
And then incidentally, 56 for email 5.
Now I need to ask you this question. Do they get email number 2 if they didn't open up email number 1?
Right. I love that you asked this question. So the way that it's set up right now is everyone gets the emails one after another. But what we do is in the subject line, we say chapter 1 of 5, 2 of 5, 3 of 5, so that from the inbox, people can tell right away where they are in the sequence. Uh-huh. And people have this weird completion mentality.
Sure.
So if
I'm that way
they
with
get,
Homeland.
Right. If they get to email 3 and they missed email 2, they're very likely to go back to email 2, open okay. that one first.
And is that the optimal path?
So I think that it's a good place to start. There are a couple things I would love to test, and I was sort of One would be making it entirely a Netflix experience. How can we make it so that when someone watches the first video, we send them the next video immediately?
More nudity.
Right? Yeah, way more.
It's the big reveal.
Yeah. The second thing that I wanted to test is, and we've discussed this with clients in many cases, if someone doesn't open email two, you might resend email two on day three and on day four.
With like a slightly different title. With a
slightly different subject line, yeah. And see if you can get someone to open it. And once someone's opened it, then you will allow emails three and four and five to go out. So I've seen Frank Kern do this with great success. He's a really brilliant email marketer, advertiser, in sort of the small business space. And I found it very interesting that he would set up an autoresponder so that it will try again between 3 to 5 times. And then if you don't engage with one of those emails after the fifth send, then they just advance to the second one. I'm not sure that in this context that's better, but it's worth testing.
Okay, but what I like about this is something we've been teaching our listeners to this podcast from day one, which is when you don't know, test, 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 right? Always run a mini test. And I like the concept of sending out the third one because you never want to jump ahead in a series. And by default, you go back, but it would be fun to test and see which one moves the open rate needle at higher levels. Now, so you can see that we're getting 2 to 3 times our average email engagement simply by organizing the same kind of content that we share all the time, but in a sequential format. Let's talk about click rates. And for those who are just listening, click rate would be you open up the email, but then what percentage are actually clicking on that video thumbnail and going to the landing page to watch yours truly in this series?
Yep. So the way that this was designed was we wanted to deliver all of the critical information via text only, right? So the most essential information is just in the email.
Okay.
And then,
so in the email body.
Right.
Right? Okay.
And then we also included in that email a thumbnail to take them to a page where they can watch the video. So this, we obviously want people to watch the video because we want them to build a connection with you, the thought leader. We want them to get all of the detail. We want to get that FaceTime. We want people to get used to hearing your voice. These are all important things. So the click rate is critical, but even when people don't click, we're still achieving the objectives when people are reading
them,
the email.
Right? Right. Okay. So then we've boiled down the condensed version in the text, even though the text is limited.
Yes, okay. Exactly. So now that said, our click rates were even more striking and dramatic than the open rates. 32% for the first email, 30% for the second, 19% for the third, 12% for the fourth, and 19% for the fifth.
Now, if I do the math in my head, that's between 5 and 15 times our average email click rate.
Yep.
That's pretty good.
Massive.
Right?
Right. But, we also want to make sure that when people, these were longer videos, right? I think the shortest video we made in this series was 5.5 minutes long. And so I think that that data is also going to be very telling. How much FaceTime did we actually get with these people? So when I went into the video viewing behavior, we use Wistia so we can track which people watch which percentage of a video. So we can also do some lead scoring based on who's engaged. But incidentally,
Covertly doing that,
yeah,
right?
But okay. People are so engaged that basically anyone who's going through this is watching these videos and a substantial portion of relatively long videos. So for the first video, we had a 78% play rate.
Damn.
Which means after the click,
right?
78% of the people who hit that page watched the video.
Right. Okay, good.
So we also have the body of the email represented there. So if they didn't finish the email, they could also read the email.
That 78% play rate is about 3 times the average of a video impression.
Right.
Right?
You put a video in prominent real estate, like on your homepage, you might see somewhere between a 15 and a 30% play rate. So obviously we easily did 2 to 3x what you would get for a video play rate because it's in a course, right? So we can guess that because we have created a larger overarching transformational objective with this course, that's why the play rate's so much higher. Our autoresponder pages, the landing pages that these videos, that these course modules live on, is not all that different stylistically from our homepage. But the play rate is easily 3-4 times higher. So that's really good to see. We also held, and this being the least important of all the videos, because it's just sort of a little bit of backstory, 62%, and that was for a 5-minute long video.
So let me understand what that means. 62% of the people went through the 5 minutes?
So that means that the average viewer watched at least 62% of the video.
Well, that would have been my fallback question.
So that means that our viewers were watching about 3 out of the 5 minutes on average.
Great.
Some people watched all of it. Some people watched less. But that's a big chunk of attention, especially for a longer video that's not mission critical to the actual course.
Okay, so then take me into these videos that get a little bit more mission critical, like our second video. What was the play rate? What was the audience retention and those details?
Yeah, so for our second video, the play rate was 89%.
Damn.
So about 9 out of 10 people who hit that page watched the video. And for that video, which was 8 minutes and 40 seconds
long. That's a big dog right there, right? I had a lot to say.
Yeah. You have a very long story, Todd.
Yeah.
It's your age.
Yes. Tough crowd.
I know, right?
Tough crowd. Yeah.
So
he is so screwed.
I'm going to get fired later.
Yeah.
And so for that 8-minute, 40-second long video, we held the average viewer for almost 70%, 68% audience retention.
Beautiful.
So there we're looking at somewhere around 6 minutes-ish to watch this video. A little more than 6 minutes out of this almost 9-minute long video.
These are people that we're making an impression with.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, we're connecting with people for 6 minutes. I mean, and everyone's always talking about, oh, if you want to hold people's attention, make a 30-second video.
Hey, doesn't it feel like we're always like opposing conventional wisdom for some reason? It's like whenever we buck the trend and then study it, like we always see that our longer videos get better engagement than our shorter ones. Right, but that's not conventional wisdom.
I think that's vanity metrics, right? You want to see how many people completed your video on like Facebook, then 30-second video, of course it's going to perform better because it's the way that you discover it. You didn't click on the video to watch it. You scrolled past it and decided to dwell for a moment. What we're talking about is people have opted in to get these videos, and so we're going to deliver the goods. And there's this larger objective that is bigger than just the one video. They would feel like they were missing something if they skipped. And so we, because of the construct, because of the way that we sequenced content, we knew that we were going to get longer attention spans and be able to deliver more of our essential message by creating longer videos.
Cool. All right, so let's talk about video 3. That was our main content video. At over 11 minutes long, it's our longest video. How did that perform?
That one, 65% of people viewed that video. It was also our longest email.
When you say the longest email text, right?
The
body of the email is our
the
longest.
Text. Yep.
We had a lot of information for people, right?
Yeah, and we wanted to make sure that even if they didn't watch the video, that they got the big idea that step one, choose profitable topics. Step two, create your video the right way the first time. Step three, make sure you use that video routinely so that it gets the exposure that it deserves, that it needs to get ROI. And so we made sure that that was communicated in the text because that's the most important detail. But we were able to dive much deeper in that 11-minute video. Now, in an 11-minute video, we held the average viewer for over 7 minutes.
That's pretty long.
Yep. So
now it's starting to feel like an airplane ride.
Yeah.
Right.
We're starting to get a lot of that information across. Now if you think about just the average viewer so far through videos 1, 2, and 3, we're looking at 3, 9, another 8. So 17 total minutes of attention span without even thinking about the initial engagement on our website, without thinking about how long they spent reading the content.
That's a lot of relationship development, a lot of education, thought leadership
we're
building. 3 days, right?
Yeah.
All right. So now video 4, talk to me about video 4. How did that perform?
So video 4 had an 86% play rate. So a very high play rate still.
We're actually holding true through each one of these with a significant audience. And you would think that a lot of times, if you didn't build it right, that number would get smaller.
Right. If you weren't delivering the goods, right, you would expect to see that subsequent emails had much, much lower engagement because the expectation of value has gone down.
Okay.
You have to deliver the goods. You have to make it a win-win, or this sequential content strategy does not work because you burn trust or you earn trust. There is no middle ground.
All right, now that video, I totally agree with you, dude. Spot on. That video was 6 minutes, 40 seconds long. Talk to me about the attention rate for that and how we retain people.
86% play rate, 88% audience retention. So people watched about 5.5 minutes of that 6 minute, 40 second cool video. So now we're up to 24 minutes of total time watched on average through 4 days. So for our final video, which is just really our call to action, it's the urgency video. It's why, where the industry's headed, why you should act now, as well as breaking down what our special offer is. This one's more salesy. So we're expecting to see a little bit of a drop off here when someone says, oh, I'm not the right fit. This isn't for me.
And we're happy with that because I'd rather sift through bad fits in an automated manner than burning your time, my time, Christo's time. It's so much more efficient this way, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now, for this video, we still had an 84% play rate, but we had only 33% of the viewers made it to the end of the video. So the average audience retention was 40%. Right. The average viewer made almost halfway through the video, but one third of those viewers did go all the way to the end, to the call to action, to take the next step.
All right, all right. So if you're advising a client, and in this case, I'm the client, what would you say if I looked at those numbers on video 5 and I was depressed and I thought we had failed?
I would say, what was your conversion rate?
Right.
How many deals did you get that you wouldn't have gotten otherwise? That would be one. And then also, I would point out that, again, we're being salesy here. So the people who realize that you're not a good fit, they shouldn't continue watching the video. You expect them to drop off. But the fact that one third of the people that we've been building this relationship with sat through a 5 minute video all the way through, I would say that's a success. You were selling to someone for 5 minutes and you held their attention
right
at a 1 in 3.
Well, because I also I'm singing and a little tap dance in there.
So no. Don't confuse them. Don't confuse them. There was no tap dancing. It was just Todd talking to camera.
Right. Long story short, by creating a content sequence, we were able to deliver over 30 minutes of mission critical information to our new subscribers within 5 days, developed a relationship, trust, thought leadership. Sounds like an early win. Might be a little too early to know how it affects the bottom line, but we're only, you know, 5-6 weeks out from launch. And we didn't start announcing this in the podcast until maybe 3-4 episodes ago.
Yep. And another important thing to point out here is that we're only testing this organically. You know, we've been promoting it in the podcast. We've linked to it on our website. You know, we've put up, you know, different forms and different locations.
We haven't driven any money to it.
But we have not, and it's been discussed. I mean, I know that lots of people have been asking me, Marcus, why aren't we running ads to this? We, you know, the engagement's great. And what I want to see is I want to see that it is actually spitting out some qualified customers, not just educating them up to the point where they trust us, they like us, they're going to keep opening our emails for a little while. I need to close the loop on revenue before I want to start putting any money behind it. And so that means I need a little more time to test and tweak, find out what kind of person is filling out this form and joining this course, what knowledge gaps. We need a couple of these people to matriculate, have a conversation with them. Once we get to that point, I think we'll be pretty comfortable putting some revenue behind this because the conversion rates are very high. We 10x'd our website conversion rate when we made the switch over and we started promoting this mini course. So we know that we're generating leads. I know that our sales team and I have been looking at those leads. They seem to be higher quality than the other leads that we've been driving in terms of, you know, they meet the basic qualifications for someone who could be a good fit for us. But we need to see that those people are still raising their hand. They get to the end of this 5-part series and they take action on the call to action. And We're still a little early to know sort of what rate we can expect. You're going to need a larger sample size. But once we get there, I absolutely think that this is one of those things we could put some budget behind and then maybe set up a little remarketing campaign on the back end that pass people into specific solutions.
Right.
Right. Because we're not just selling video marketing. I'm using air quotes here. We're selling solutions to specific business problems. It's, are people stalling out in your sales process? Well, let us help you plug the gaps in your sales funnel using automation and email and video and how we can do what we've always been talking about, which is hacking attention spans,
right?
Is basically what we're talking about here. So that's one solution, but that's only one of the many types of solutions we can offer.
Right.
So how do we path people coming out of this mini course into the next step in the sales funnel? How can we advance them a little further along?
It's fun. You know, for those listening right now, it's important that you realize that, sure, you can start an ad spend and start driving traffic into this wash plant, you know, if we're using the gold mining analogy, and then spit out your gold at the back end. But the problem here is we want to know what those organic numbers are in order to determine if applying ads and moving people creates a lower quality or a higher quality lead source. In order to do that, you should always be thinking about organic leads first. So you have a baseline. You know, we all do this even with hormone levels with patients. They want to know what your hormone levels were before you get sick so they can adjust them back to your natural levels. And that's basically what we're doing here.
Yeah, we just need to know what kind of results we could expect based on a specified quantity of good quality leads.
All right, lots of ninja moves inside of this strategy. You know, I know we use some ninja moves for driving that kind of engagement. So what are the pro tips for getting even more out of this sequential content strategy?
So we've already teased at a few of these, so we'll move through them a little bit quickly. But the first is we use video in those emails. We talk about this all the time. It's less effective in our industry because our target customers see it more often. But putting the video thumbnails in the email, letting people know that, hey, there's this wall of text and you can read that if you're a reader. And there are readers out there, so make sure you give them that text equivalent. But give people the eye candy, the thing that they would rather do than read. And we know that people are 4 times more likely to watch a video than to read text. So make sure you're using that video thumbnail in your emails that you're sending out. If you go ahead and sign up for the Wirebuzz series, you'll see that, yes, our production is good. Todd's well lit. The audio is great. The background is a pure white. There are some really slick motion graphics. But really what we're talking about is a basic talking head style video. And you can do that. There's no reason that every business can't go out there and create a talking head style mini course to boost the results, drive even better engagement out of this video or out of this mini course than you could get from the text emails alone.
You know, Marcus, in this scenario, I was the client, right?
Yep.
So, Marcus runs the strategy. He also runs the script writing team, which operates in proven script writing, copywriting templates. So I wanted to walk through this experience as a client, recognizing that my time is really valuable. I'm spread thin already. My time invested, for those of you listening wanting to know how much I was involved in it, because I think it's important for people to realize that I met with you guys. We talked about the strategy. I gave you at a high level what my goals were, right? You guys recorded that conversation. And then 2 weeks later, maybe 10 days later, I had scripts to read, right? I read through the scripts. I literally made maybe 4 changes. And they were small things. This word, not that word.
You told us what your story was.
Right.
So we knew how to tell the story maybe a little cleaner than it was
I would,
off the cuff.
Right, jerk.
But we also knew... We also knew how you worded things.
Right.
We had the recordings. And
so
I have the advantage of working with you a lot, too.
Right.
So I've written in your voice a number of times over the years.
What a blessing.
I know.
I mean, for me.
Yeah, right. I know that I'm a blessing to you. So I think that that's really important. But working with a professional script writer who will be picking up those cues as to how do you communicate? How do you talk? How do you construct a sentence? Because at one level, we need to communicate the idea clearly and simply, persuasively, yes, but we also need to make sure that we are writing it in your voice so that when you get on the teleprompter, you're not stumbling all over our comma usage because we know how you speak. We know what your cadence is. We know what kind of words you use.
Right.
Just think about the CTAs.
Yes.
You know, like the sign-offs, you know, like you have certain ways of signing off on a video.
Yeah.
And we just inject those because that's your personality.
Absolutely. Now, I walked into the studio. All those five scripts were in the teleprompter. I walked in, knocked them down. I think we filmed three of them in one day. And we started later in the day, maybe at like after lunch. So I walked in after lunch, and the next thing I'm reading the scripts. Maybe it's 4 o'clock. It's time for me to get into a meeting. I come back the next day. If you watch this, here's a little inside baseball. You'll see that I got my hair cut between the series 3 and 4. So I'm all like clean in 4 and 5.
You even wore a jacket in 4 because I think you just felt all fresh and clean.
Yes. But just to give you a little inside baseball on this, I really didn't have a lot to do. I walked in, read the scripts, knocked them down like a champ. Now we're starting to see results. And so it was super efficient for me being the client to have that kind of experience. Nicely done.
That's great feedback. So one, videos. If you can use videos in this, you will supercharge the entire strategy. People would rather watch them.
Because video has superpowers.
Video has superpowers. The second thing, we kind of teased out a little bit, which is that notion of foreshadowing, of creating open loops.
Right.
So the idea of an open loop or even foreshadowing is establishing a knowledge gap, right? You tell people that something's coming, or you tease at knowledge that's coming, but that you're not going to deliver right now.
Right.
And that's one of the great advantages of creating sequential content is in email one, you can tell them what's going to happen in email two, so that now they're waiting anxiously to find out, get that solution,
like
to get that knowledge.
Every TV show that we binge watch practices that same type of concept.
Yeah, and the classic example people talk about is Seinfeld versus Lost.
Right.
In Seinfeld, every episode is completely disconnected.
It was all about nothing.
You could miss an episode and it didn't matter. You could go on to the next one. You could watch them all out of order. Didn't matter.
You'd still laugh.
You'd still giggle. But at no point does someone like binge watch Seinfeld, right? Like you don't feel compelled to watch 15 episodes of Seinfeld back to back, but you would feel that compulsion if we're talking about something like Lost, where they're opening up like 30 open loops with like the characters in the present, all of the characters, all of their backstories, all of their heroes' journeys.
Right.
And then you also have those characters in the past and how they even got to the island and all of the knowledge gaps that presents. And so you have a constant state of resolution. So you've acquired some knowledge, so you feel satisfied. But then as you're acquiring that new knowledge, you're opening up a new loop, a new source of conflict, a new knowledge gap.
So open loops is a ninja tactic. Video thumbnails we use, that's a ninja tactic. Avoid warning shots by pitching way too early because you got to establish that relationship, just like dating. Establish the relationship before you fire off the warning shot.
Right, and we discussed that earlier too, which is wait until email 5, video 5, to reveal your offer. You don't need to tell people what your product is to tell them why they need your product. You focus on how you can educate people without, you know, if you're going duck hunting, you don't just fire off into the woods because all of the birds are going to fly away. You wait until you have them in your sights, and then you fire.
That's an Oregon duck alum talking about how to optimize your duck hunting.
Except in Oregon, the ducks fight back.
They do. You're right. All right, the fourth ninja move that I saw was the use of chapters in your email subject lines, like 1 of 5, or this is email 3 of 5, mm-hmm. right? That's ninja stuff.
Yep. And then the other thing, and people get really, really hesitant around this, but it is so, so important. And you can test it, but I recommend that when you first get started with the welcome series, you send your emails daily. Remember, this is kind of, sequential content is that Netflix experience. Do you want people waiting a week? And then you have to do that recap at the beginning of the show so that they know what all of the open loops are that you're going to be closing today.
Right.
You give them that background.
They've actually asked for it, so give it to them quicker.
Yep. And if anything, I think that our you know, in the future, we might make our content even more bingeable. So as opposed to delivering it daily, we might give people an option to get to the end of the video and then click a button to go to the next video.
So what are some of the other ways to use sequential content as part of your marketing or your sales strategy?
Sure. So obviously there's the mini course using something like an attractive character sequence, product launch formula, some proven persuasion framework. We also love sequential advertising, targeting people with an ad. Once they see that, you remarket to them, you pixel them with that video, you send them the next one.
Only the ones that are the most engaged.
Right. So if people watch like 75% or 95% of video one, you send them video two.
Called sequential retargeting.
Sequential retargeting, exactly. Okay. So you can do that using YouTube, Facebook, all different sorts of ad formats. A very powerful way to do it without them ever having to even come to your website. You can also use YouTube playlists. So thinking about this same kind of sequential content, that's going to give you the advantage of increasing your watch time. Someone watches video one, they're going to roll right into video two, they're going to roll right into video three. And now you just got, in our case, 15, 20 minutes of watch time all in one session. So that's right. Going to help our search rankings.
Absolutely.
You could also do a blog post series. So you take a bigger topic that might take you 20, 25,000 words to get through, and you just break it up into segments. Each one of those pages could independently rank. But then you also have that really, really rich overview page that has that larger transformational offer. And now you can promote the heck out of that, get lots of links, lots of shares.
All right. So I like the choose your own adventure email autoresponder using tag-based segmentation. It allows people to flow through the path that has the highest relevancy to them.
And what's great about email-based segmentation is that you might start with like something like an attractive character sequence. This is what we were talking about earlier, where then you give them an option to choose, you know, do I want to learn about sales process optimization? Do I want to learn about video advertising? Do I want to learn about how to increase or decrease customer support requests? And those are all things that we can do with video. Let them choose the things they're interested in and then deliver another sequence. You can layer sequences on top of sequences using an email autoresponder, and that's going to, again, help you maximize that engagement using nothing more than email and video.
So aside from email engagement, what are some of the other benefits of creating content in a series like we did?
Sure. So obviously, it's a better educational experience.
Right.
Right. You can deliver a bigger promise because you're have more time, more attention. And so that's really helpful.
You're freeing up your most valuable assets in the company, right? By only having them explain it once.
Yep. Yep. You can position it as a content offer, a lead magnet, like okay. we did. So you have to sign up to get it so it can drive leads, actually very highly qualified leads. You can use sequential content to bring people through an entire sales funnel. So from understanding what, you know, the building demand for a solution all the way through delivering your offer and then overcoming resistance.
Can you picture a beer bong? Well, you went to a Pac-12 school. Of course you can. Isn't this sequential content when you're using it like a sales process, like beer bonging your sales funnel?
Yeah. I like it. That's right? A good metaphor. I like that.
Yeah.
I was wondering where you were going, but you're like, yeah, that's totally true.
Oh, I went to a Pac-12 school. I knew where I was going. Aisle 8, Home Depot. That's where you buy it. You got to construct those things. Oh, they did? Okay, sorry. It's now in aisle 9.
You're also going to see improved search rankings. Whether you're putting these videos on your YouTube in a playlist to get that watch time factor that we'd already discussed here a moment ago, or you could improve your Google search rankings using the strategy we talked about where you create a larger blog series, because your time on site, the engagement metrics that you're sending to Google are going to be so much better when you can hold people captive for 20, 30, 40 minutes of binge reading.
Right. Watch time is one of the primary ranking factors for Google, YouTube, Facebook, and literally is a stupid algorithm robot's way of determining quality of content.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. So those are some of the big benefits of using sequential content for sure.
All right. Before we wrap up, let's discuss the key takeaways of this conversation. It sounds like the basic idea is that marketers and salespeople, you know, we oftentimes have a lot of information that we need to share with our prospects before they'll be ready to speak to a salesperson or even be interested in your solution. And how many sales stall out, really just flat out stall out because your product, your service isn't a priority. how many leads, think about this, fall out of your funnel because they didn't understand why they needed you, right? And there's a lot of education that goes in there, or why they should work with you or not your competitors. Like, all of that is really vital to be explaining. And these are all huge roadblocks during the sales process. But by using a content sequence and positioning it in a mini course or a series, you can potentially 10x the attention spans and deliver more information in 5 days than you would otherwise be able to deliver in a few months or in an entire airplane ride. Now, that's powerful. It speeds up the sales process and it increases your close rates. And it also sounds like sequential content can be used to achieve a variety of goals, whether it's educating prospects, improving your search rankings, or generating qualified leads. All of those are advantages to you. And the key, however, is spending more time developing a smart strategy that's designing your sequence to serve both the needs of your target audience as well as your business goals. It needs to be a win-win, right? All right, so now you know how to do it. Now, before we sign off, is there anything else that you can think of, Marcus, that our listeners need to know about sequential content?
Yeah, I want to reiterate what's at stake right now. Like, we talk a lot about competition and how, you know, marketing is the modern CASBA. And as people get better, as competition increases, there needs to be a next evolution. The thing that makes you stand out and differentiates you in the market. Content quality is improving. We've been talking about it for years now that long blog posts are performing better in terms of traffic, and longer videos and longer videos are performing better in YouTube search. And so we're starting to see this competition leading us to a place where good is not good enough,
right,
anymore. We need to innovate and push content marketing to the next level. And the way that that can be done is not by creating a 20,000 word blog post, because no one will ever read that.
Never.
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 And so a 5,000 word blog post broken up over two pieces of content is going to help you perform better. A 10,000 word blog post broken up into 5 pieces of content is going to perform better because you are actually able to hold people's attention through your content. And because you've sequenced it intelligently, you're still delivering on that larger transformation. So I think that content marketers in the future are going to stop thinking about every piece of content they create as a one-off,
yep,
and start to think about how can I create sequences of 4 pieces of content, 5 pieces of content, 10 pieces of content, and then how can I make sure that that content works for my sales funnel, but also works for helping spark the transformation in our buyers that they need to have. That's how we create that win-win environment where we're able to 10x the rate of information delivery, but they're feeling like we're taking them by the hand and we're walking them through an important transformation that's valuable to them.
There's only so many people that the thought leader in a company, in this case, it's me, can hold their hand and walk them through the thought sequence. Right?
Yep.
And most companies, to differentiate themselves, they write it in text. And as we've discovered and discussed on this podcast time and again, people will never read through it. They will skim. They will pull little information. They'll misunderstand. They will bounce. And they will go somewhere else where they can be educated at easier or faster rates.
Right. I mean, just think about it like from a website perspective. If you're looking at a website, there's a little box where you could put a 2-minute video or a 5-minute video,
right,
or what we've discovered, an 11-minute video, and people will watch it. But if you needed to put 800 words of text in that little box, your website experience is blown up and no one will read it.
Right.
So video is a way of getting more of that information communicated more quickly without breaking your website experience. Because here's the thing, you don't sell in sound bites. So why do you think your website would be able to sell in sound bites? It can't. You have information that needs to be communicated, and text will not do that job. That's
right.
Why video is the future.
Super interesting conversation, Marcus Krieg. Thank you for breaking it down once again for us.
Thank you for having me again.
People ask me all the time, why do the video guys have a podcast? Well, the reason is we already know that your goals are going to dictate your strategy. Your strategy will influence your content type. And our goal is to be helpful, to be thought leaders in the space, to educate. And we also know that each and every one of us on average has a 40-minute daily commute. Now, it would be totally unethical for us in that 40 minutes if we expected you to watch video while you're driving in your car. If you're in Los Angeles, like I used to be, you could totally watch video on the 405, not hit anything because you're not going anywhere. But we wanted to create a podcast talking about video because we wanted to educate you, develop a relationship, turn you into a video marketing master so you can always be moving the needle to advance ROI. You buy that?
Yes.
Of course you do. Hey, if you want to get access to the show notes for this episode, wirebuzz.com/75. An easy way to remember 75, it's 3/4, right? I don't know about you. I don't keep a change purse, but if I did, I'd probably always have in there 3/4, right? It's clean. My wife reprimanded me because I had nickels, dimes, and pennies in my change holder in my car. It's a little nitpicky. She said, what you really need are just 3/4. Wirebuzz.com/75. All right. So if this podcast episode was valuable to you, by all means, go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Make sure that you subscribe. Please leave a little honest rating and review. When I say little honest, what I really mean is a little review, but be big on honesty. That's how we learn, perfect, and polish. Also, if you've got any topics that you'd like brought up on this podcast episode, you can always go to wirebuzz.com/pitch with a P. We'd love to hear what you think would be valuable, but where we're going is where all of our clients and our prospects are going, which is about ROI. To get access to the free mini course, wirebuzz.com/ROI is where it lives. And until then, we'll be doing our due diligence to keep moving and educating ourselves and bringing that latest information back to you so you can be a video marketing master.